World fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, February 1st. February 1st. You know, it was about just a little bit less than 365 days, just a little bit less than a year that they started this. What was it? They were just going to quarantine us just to flatten the curve. Do you remember that? Just going to flatten the curve. That was about 49 or 50 weeks ago they began talking about that. And I think I shared with you a couple weeks ago that I remember the day that my wife came home. She said, honey, they're going to close down the stores. I said, what? Yeah, they're going to close down the stores for a week. They're not going to do that. How are they going to do that? I said to her. She came in. She said, I don't know, but that's what they're going to do. I just heard about it at Kroger's. And lo and behold, here we are. Flattened the curve. They flattened the curve, I guess. What a time to be alive, man. The crazy stuff that's going on all around us. This was one of those mornings when I got up. I got a million things I want to talk with you about. And again, I appreciate you guys so much. I had a conversation this weekend with somebody who's kind of new to the show and is hooked. Put your thumb up if you know what I'm talking about. New to the show, but hooked. And they said, Coach, don't take this wrong. I enjoy what you do and you're yelling and all that stuff. I enjoy all that. But I said, man, some of the wisdom in that huddle is unbelievable, the things that people say. I said, no kidding. By the way, that's the way church is supposed to operate. You're not supposed to walk into church and listen to some 6-foot icicle talk to you about some sermon series that he's put together. Y'all with me? And what I think is going on here, and I don't take any credit for it. I just kind of opened the door and threw the meat on the table and says, eat away, boys, chew away. And it has been the most gratifying 5 plus years of my life. I just want all of you to know it. And in your own ways, many of you are, you're using your gifts. You're starting to use your gifts for the first time, and doors opening up for you to use your gift or to get a little bit of boldness to finally stand up and say some of the things that you've thought and ask some of the questions that you always wanted to ask. And you just knew, if you were like me, you just knew when you picked up this Bible, which my Bible's always, let me move this a second here. My Bible's always right underneath me as we're doing the program. My Bible, my old King James, all marked up King James is always underneath. But when I started this show, if you would go back and look at some of the first couple shows, I told people that the thing that's really, really motivated me in my Christian walk is to find out how much stuff they've taught me that's not in here. That'd be a good place to put a thumb up. How much stuff they put in and they've taught me that isn't in here, and how much stuff they haven't taught me that is. And that's why you have to be careful any time that you begin to go into any type of once you begin to get into doctrine and theological positions and all that stuff. I don't know about you. When I got saved, I learned my theological doctrine from the guy who was in the pulpit. I didn't know him from Adam, to be honest with you. It's where I got saved. So I started listening to him and he started walking me through the Bible, and it wasn't very long. I believed what he believed. But then something happened. I thought, whoa, I ran across something that he taught me that, I'm not sure that's true. Thumb up. And I say, not because look, we all look at things from different perspectives, right? We call it mindsets. The way the world is what they call that, framed. So you have a mindset. If you have, for instance, if you have a mindset that that the end of the world is coming, and you can look at all the signposts, and you can line up, and this has happened, and this has happened, and this is, and it's in the book of Daniel, and you have that mindset that the end of the world is coming, you will live your life as if the end of the world is coming. So thumb up there, yeah, right? But if you have a perspective in the world, which is a perspective that I have, because listen, I don't know if the end of the world's coming. I don't know. I mean, I believe it is, but I don't know. And we could sit down around a table and we could have all kinds of discussions as to whether it is and whether it isn't, whose idea. We could do all that kind of stuff. But the truth of it is none of us really, really know. So I'm thinking, golly, if I'm counting on the end of the world being next year and it's not next year, wow, I'm going to have a rude awakening, aren't I? And so much of Christendom, I think we're in the position that we're in American Christianity is because we've become convinced that the end of the world's about to be here and God's going to get his people out of here. And I never forget the question that one guy asked me one time, it kind of opened my eyes and changed my whole theology. And crazy as it sounds, he said, well, that sounds good, coach, but let me ask you something. Is God an American? I said, what? He says, is God's timetable based on what's going on here in America? Or is he king of all the world? Is he king in the deepest parts of South Africa? Is he king over there? Is he king in Iran? Is he king of kings in Europe? Is he king of kings in South America? Is he king of kings in Haiti? Well, they don't recognize him as such, but he is, isn't he? So therefore, it's so easy for us to sit here in modern American Christianity with the internet and YouTube and high tube and low tube and big tube and think that this is everything that's going on in the world, and it just isn't. It just isn't. So when we come here, I try to bring a flavor. I have my own beliefs. But you ask me, I'll tell you what I believe. And I'll tell you, I don't know. But you're never not welcome here because you believe something different. Because we're all on a journey. We're all working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We all are. And that's why I love so much about this, because this is definitely Heinz 57 variety in here, isn't it? Of beliefs and the unprogramming. Listen to me. The unprogramming that we have to do. I'm just curious. Give me a thumbs up if you no longer feel guilty about not going to church on Sunday. Put your thumb up if you don't feel guilty about it anymore. And put your thumb up if you felt guilty forever and ever and ever because you weren't gone, right? 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 And so I'm not against church. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against that. I want to go to church because I love the Lord, not out of duty. You with me? I don't want to go. The Lord, it'd be like kissing my wife and saying, "Why are you doing it?" Well, just because you're my wife. I'm supposed to, as opposed to kissing my wife because I want to. Kind of the same thing. Hey, help me here, Lord. Help me here. Give me. I want to do some real quick announcements here on Monday, real quick. And I got some exciting stuff to share with you. I think it's exciting. I'm going to tomorrow afternoon. I'll do tomorrow morning show. It's my computer stuck. And then I'm going to go I'm flying to Dallas, Texas for a couple of days with John Diamond to this. My computer is frozen. Come on, dude. I'm freeze here. There we go. Okay. There we go. All right. No, that's not what I wanted. Yeah. Is that it? It sure is. Okay. Anyway, pull up right away the schedule for me there, Spencer. Just because we're starting to organize again for huddles. Is that what we're calling them? Huddles? Yeah, huddles. We're coming to life again. And I'm excited because some of you are stepping to the plate. We're going to have a Georgia meet and greet. Tim and Naomi are stepping out. We're not really, really calling that a huddle yet, but it's a meet and greet so they can begin to find like-minded people in their area, people who they want to be able to build, I don't know, build a king, not a kingdom, but kingdom principles, teach kingdom principles, rely on each other, church. Go ahead, Naomi.
We need RSVPs because of the location that we're meeting. So we need those by Friday.
All right. So if you're down there in that area and you're going to go to the meet and greet over with Tim and Naomi, it's on the website right there. Please notify them. Say we'll be there so they know how many Cokes to buy and how many Pepsis and all that if they're going to do that stuff. Help them out. And then I'm going to go to Iowa next week on next Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. There's a Denny Bryan's having an Iowa huddle up there. My wife and I are traveling up there. After getting back, you know, as I said, I'm going to go to Dallas for the event with John. John, I'll pull that up here in a second. So the 12th, Texas Salt and Light Brigade at Chad Estes's place. Chad's the head of the Salt and Light Brigade, not just the Texas Salt and Light Brigade, but he's helping to bring all of these together. So if you're down in the Texas area, there ain't nothing like one of Chad's Salt and Light Brigade meetings. And then down next, at the same time, there's going to be a huddle in Kentucky.
There you go.
There you go, man. Some of you come and join us in Kentucky, and it tells us what all is going to go on there. And listen, it's just great, great fellowship. And we think that we're to assemble, forsake not the assembling ourselves even more as we see that day approaching. That's Saturday the 13th. Then March 15th is the Go Therefore conference with Dr. Mike Spaulding at his place in Lima. They're all on a schedule there. Hear the Watchman in Dallas, although I got to be honest with you, I haven't heard much about that. I don't know if they're still running with that thing or not. And don't forget, we don't have it up there. The annual here in Ohio, I think it's the 17th and 18th of June, where we go to the Homosexual Pride Parade and do some great stuff. Get out on our boats here at Buckeye Lake. We don't have it up there. I'll make sure it gets up there. And then Bob Clay is putting together Tennessee Salt Light Brigade Huddle, little getaway in August. So there's some things. We'll get other things because I know right now that others have already contacted me. Coach, we're working on this. We're working on that. And we're just trying to give you an opportunity to get plugged in. Anybody have anything for the good of the group on that one? Let me see. Yeah, Randy. Yeah.
February 14th, I'm going to be having one here at my house. At
12. Oh, man, that's right. I knew that, Randy. I knew that. We got to get that. We'll get that up on there. Randy's having one in Oklahoma. Now, look, some of you guys may have to, you know, you may live in Arkansas. You may have to drive to Oklahoma to do it. And I promise you it'll be well worth it for you to do that. Okay. I'm trying to get to the right place for my things. There it is. Okay. Myra, go ahead. You want to say something, Myra? Or is you just got it up there, sweetie?
Yes. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. I just want to read a Bible verse.
Okay. I love that.
Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. I have faith God is working in this nation. And Trump's still my president.
Amen.
Thank you.
Jesus is still my Lord. That's more important to me than Trump is still my president. Oh, I get you. And I amen you on that, Myron. We love you. I'm glad you're part of it. Jim Caribou. Come on in, Jim.
Yeah, Coach, you're talking about, you know, forever people have thought, when is the Lord returning? When is the end of coming? Uh-huh. One thing we know for sure is he returns the day I die for me.
And that's the truth, brother.
He returns for you the day you die.
That's exactly right.
We live that way. We know he's coming back the day we quit breathing.
Brother, that folks, that is so, 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 so important, right? With all the signs of the times and all that stuff, your rapture could come tomorrow, baby. It could all happen for you tomorrow. So we need to live that way and not have any regrets as we look over our shoulder. One of those things that we want to look, that we want to put off, we'll do that next year. But baby, you better think about doing it now because tomorrow's promised to no man. Good point. Good point, Jim. Tim, Naomi, do you want to get back in here?
Yeah, let me just say that we're in the Blue Ridge Mountains, the Blue Ridge, Georgia area. Uh-huh. So if people are in Murphy, North Carolina area, and we're even close to Copper Hill, Tennessee. So don't just think, oh, Georgia, I don't live there.
That's right. Amen, Naomi. Good point. Good point. And folks, we're just trying to plug in with somebody anywhere. Give you a group of people that you can hang with and fellowship with, and we think it's important. Jim, your hand went back up. Did you have another thing, Jim? Okay, cool. All good for mine. Listen, I'm gonna Mike Heath. Is Mike in here? Be praying for Mike. Mike is running for governor, literally running for governor in Maine. And of course, everybody laughs. They say, "Well, yeah, what experience do you have?" I'm going to tell you, Mike, he's very well known in the state of Maine. There's only like a million voters in the entire state. And Mike ran the Christian Civic League of Maine for about 25, 26 years. He was the James Dobson of Maine. And so Christians know the name Mikey. It's not like if Larry were going to go out and run for office, first thing he'd have to do is get name recognition. People know who he is. That's the biggest battle. And Mike already has that. And so we'll see whether or not it's going to be a rallying point or gathering, whatever, if people will rally behind a Christian. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? But you know, I've run for office four times. I lose every time I run because Christians have been programmed to believe that there's supposed to be a separation between their faith and the state. And so they said, well, I get nervous. He wasn't going to come in there and he's going to try to cram all God's principles down everybody's throat. Well, first of all, he's not going to do it, but that'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be a good thing? And Christians don't even understand it. See, we're so programmed by the world. And so pray for Mike, and the doors will be open for him. And if you would, I want to do a real quick review. I'm sorry, Spencer. Go to at the very top, says Dallas. Again, this is where I'm going to be the next 3 days. Just give you a little feel for what it is, because I really don't know what it is. We had John Diamond on. There's a Content 2020 Film Festival Media Summit, February 1 through 4. So it starts today. And I'm going to show up tomorrow, make a presentation on Wednesday, and come back on Thursday. So just be praying for us for, you know, good contacts. And folks, listen, I don't care. How do I say this? I don't care if I lead the parade. But we need a drum major, don't we? Don't we need somebody out and leading in front of it? And I just pray that the Lord would open doors if that's what he would have us to do, and make the connections that we need to make. And John Diamond has been, God's placed him in a pretty good spot here. So just pray that the Lord's will be done there. One other thing. Okay, pull up. It says Gil's Place. Just real quickly, I want to apologize for those of you who tried to watch us Friday night from when John Diamond came down and made his presentation. I had terrible cell coverage. We were in Pastor Tom's church. Part of it has a steel aspect to roof. Some of the sides, steel buildings. You just don't get very good. You just don't get very good connectivity in there. And so our video wasn't what I had hoped it would be. And then, of course, I run out of power on my cell phone. So we only got about an hour of it in. Because we did almost no advertisement, really, 4 days worth. I thought we'd have 10 people maybe. We had 35. 35 people showed up, they came from good old Bob Evans brought a crew from clear up. Lisbon drove down. People drove an hour and a half to come and be part of it. And one of the things I really, really saw, people are really, really angry. They're really angry. And they don't know what to do, and they want something to do. And the more John spoke, the more angry we got. Because as he began to reveal to us really what the Constitution was all about, what the founding fathers had laid out before us, and what we now have, and how upside down our government is, the frustration level went higher and higher and higher. So we had a guy show up by the name of Fred Mosley. I met Fred. I'm going to have him on when he gets back, but I want to talk about this real quickly. If you can, that's the one, Spencer, I just sent you, the standalone email, Fred Mosley's Welcome to Justice Ministries International. Let me give you a real quick overview of the, I'm going somewhere, stay with me, of the Fred Mosley story. Fred Mosley, I'd never met him, never heard anything. He was a judge in Cuyahoga County, Cleveland, Ohio. 30 years ago, so through a series of whatevers, he was found guilty of taking, I wouldn't call them kickbacks. He said he didn't really at that time, it was kind of murky. He didn't really know, but some things he had been the judge over, ended up some kickbacks came his way, and they threw the book at him. He spent 7 years in jail. 7 years in jail. And you know what? Time out, coach. Okay, I'm going to say it. Christians don't really believe in grace, do they? They don't believe in redemption. Now, listen, Christians believe in personal redemption, In other words, if you do something wrong and you get caught by the courts and you, and or whatever that sin might be, and you say, like me, 25 years ago, I drank way too much. Now I'm redeemed. And, oh, praise the Lord. Everybody loves me because I'm redeemed. Well, Fred says churches don't give him any grace at all. It's 30 years ago, 35 years ago. And people still don't want to, you're in jail for what? Oh, they don't believe in redemption. So Fred said while he was in jail, 7 years in jail, the Lord revealed to him the laws of life. And it's really, really, he's got 50 laws of life in this book. I can't wait to get Fred on here to talk about it because he's the most humble guy you'd ever meet. Larry, you would like this concept, Larry, that there are 50 things that we don't understand in God's kingdom that are laws. Like gravity is a law, the law of gravity. Folks, can you break the law of gravity? You can't break the law of gravity. I mean, you can put on a parachute and you can intervene and change the law of gravity, but you can't break the law of gravity. You can manipulate it, right, Michelle? But you can't break it, right? He said that we don't understand that we as Christians, and he's written this little book. He's got 50 laws in here that are laws. Can I give you one? The law of the spirit in life, of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. He says, right, there's two laws. Immutable, unchangeable laws. The law of the spirit of life. And there's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. There's a law of sin and death. There's a law of sowing and reaping. Whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. It's a law. And he has 50 some. Says, man, if we would just follow these laws, and understand that these just aren't suggestions or scriptural beliefs that we have, but that they actually are laws, our entire lives would be transformed. So I'm going to get Fred on here, and I just want you guys to be aware of his website. If you want to just maybe mark that down, make note of it. The website is Law. What is the name of it? I'm trying to find it there. Law International. Come on, help me out. I can't read it. Say it for us, Spencer.
JusticeMinistriesIntl.com.
Justice Ministries International. Justice Ministries International. Although it's not international, it's INTL. Maybe Spencer, you can stick that in the chat, folks. Listen, it's I believe what the Lord's given him is revolutionary. I believe it is. If we would begin to understand that these are laws, just as real as the law of gravity, just as real as the law of attraction. And if we lived by those laws, that if you give, you receive. See, the church, the name it, claim it church tells you, right? Give and you'll receive. And they've bastardized it. But it's a law. You reap what you sow, right? Really, really good. So I want to give that tip to Fred, who I just met, and going to have him on later on in the show. Boy, it took a long time to get where I wanted to get. On the after show on Friday, we were talking about the GameStop thing. I want to make you aware of something here before we move on here real quickly. The GameStop. You guys, everybody, I don't need to go back and talk about the GameStop. You guys want to know what I'm talking about? Where these guys found out how much the bankers, the Wall Street guys, the hedge funds are manipulating the market. They drive the stock down, and then they buy it, and they drive it up, and then they sell it, and they drive it down just over and over and over, and how they're getting rich and rich and rich. Well, some of these guys on the internet figured it out. Craig just put up there, silver is the target now. Well, so billions of dollars, time out. I got a million things running through my head. I'm not telling you to run out and get rich quick. Please don't do that, okay? I'm trying to show you that we're in the midst of unbelievable turmoil in every area of the world if we would just see it, if we would understand it, okay? That's the purpose of what I'm trying to get you. So these same guys who did that with AMC, I'm sorry, GameStop, and then AMC, they're learning how this these hedge funds work. According to what we hear, they are turning today to silver. The manipulation in the silver market. Now, what I have right here, I talked a little bit in the after show, but I want to make somebody very much aware of it. This is what they call junk silver, but it's not really junk. It's pre-1964 silver. Used to be when they printed our money, they printed it in silver and nickel, right? Actual metal, because it had value. So right here is a pre-1964 nickel. I don't know if you can see it. Nothing fancy about it. Just a pre-1964 nickel. And if you will, Spence, click on down at the bottom where it says silver value so that you guys don't think I'm making this up. This right here is what the melt value of a quarter, junk silver, they called it. The melt value of a quarter, right over here. If you go down a little bit more on that chart, Spence, make you guys aware that you may have some of this laying around your house. This coin I have right here, Spencer, go to where it says Roosevelt, the quarter, right in the middle, Spencer. Right there. Up. Either one of them, that'd be okay. Either one on those. Folks, it's just normal quarter, Washington quarter, pre-1964. This quarter right now is worth, in melt value, if you go back, Spence, go back and I'll show you what this quarter is worth. It's based on the price of silver, all right? It is worth $5.40. This quarter is not a quarter. It is a quarter, but it's a quarter ounce of silver. It's 77% pure silver, has a melt value of $5.40. So in these four little quarters that I have in this little bag right here, 1, 2, 3, 4, those four quarters, it's a dollar, isn't it? No, it's $20. Folks, this is $20 I have in my hand, in silver. Are you picking it up here? And so the price of silver is being manipulated to right now, it's about $27 an ounce for silver. And what these guys supposedly are going to do today, they are going to attack the silver market, which has been greatly, greatly manipulated, saying that silver today may go as high as 50.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, yeah, Glenn.
Yeah. So already we're seeing, so I work for a financial services company, the brokerage services unit.
Okay.
So obviously it's something that, I'm privy to, okay, or at least pay attention to. So the market hasn't opened and the overnight futures have silver up $3. And then what's playing into this partly is that the Reddit trading group, Robinhood has placed trading restrictions. So now they can only buy one share of GameStop and only 10 option contracts. So they've been playing it both ways through the shares and the options, but now they've had restrictions on them. So they're moving in the direction of silver.
So they've moved out of the stock market a little bit, understanding that our real money has really, really been manipulated, right, folks? Hey, listen, think about this. This silver coin, I'm trying to get the bag back open. This pre-1964 silver coin right here used to buy a gallon of gas. You guys remember those days? You know what else? It still does. It still does buy a gallon of gas. In fact, you buy a couple of gallons of gas now, right? Because what goes on in the world is what they call inflation. And we don't get it. We think prices are rising. It's just inflation, right? So I want to give you a heads up to watch what's going on in the markets, because if silver starts going to the moon, gold follows to the moon, and our entire financial system as we know it may rapidly change before our very eyes. Glenn, would you agree with that? That's a possibility? If all of a sudden silver and gold, silver in particular, reaches its real value?
Yeah, it's percentage-wise, silver's going to increase quicker than gold.
Silver is, yes.
Yes.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
That's probably going to happen, no doubt. But we also have to remember in the Bible that all your silver and gold is going to be as worthless as
everything. I couldn't agree more, Larry. I understand it. That's why I'm not here doing fortune tellings or name it, claim it, or anything like that. But if I'm going to tell you, if the silver and gold are going to be worthless, what's the paper dollar going to be worth? Right. So that's all I'm saying. I'm just trying to keep you aware of the manipulation that's going on in every area of the world. There isn't anything that seems to be real anymore, including the value of anything that you have. And so I just want our audience to be cutting edge and understand what's going on around us. Spencer, if you could increase that screen page, I don't know if you can make that. Yeah. So there you see, folks, on this page, Shows you the price of all these old silver coins. By the way, did you know the Constitution mandates that only gold and silver be used as money? The Constitution mandates it. Yes, sir. Copper, yeah, copper too. Okay, I'm going to move on. Anybody? Yeah, go ahead. Come on in.
One thing. Historically, the silver-gold ratio should be at around 15 to 1.
That's right. 16 to 1, I think. 17 to 1, yeah.
Yeah, right in there. But so the real true value, I know there's inflation. Just throw that out, really. But if gold's at 1,800 an ounce, for example, silver should be at 120 an ounce, and that's it's right. not. So it's that's how much they're manipulating it, and everyone's waking up to it. That's all.
That's right, Randy. That's why these guys are doing what they're doing. They're going to try to bust this thing out that the silver's been manipulated. In fact, I have another article I'm not going to throw up there. Folks, they have there's a silver shortage. Silver shortage. In other words, they have sold more silver than they have silver. It's called paper silver. Paper silver. If you ever buy silver, take possession of it. If you don't hold it, you don't own it. I own it. All right? I own this.
Coach?
Yes. Jack.
Dave, we got to make a clarification there.
Uh-oh.
Okay, the law does not say that you and I have to trade in silver or gold. The law, the Constitution, is a limit on government. The Constitution only governs government, not you and I. So Article 1, Section 10, no state shall make anything but gold or silver coin tender in payment of debt. If the states were restricted from using paper dollars, they could not borrow, they could not participate in the welfare state. It's the restriction on government that we need. You and I can trade in beans, salt, rice, or whatever we want, but the government has to do this. That's why it used to say on every Federal Reserve note, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private, and is redeemable in lawful money at any Federal Reserve Bank or the United States Treasury.
Silver certificates is what they called them. Silver certificates is what they called them, and they've pulled a fast one on us here. So, listen, I don't want to get camped on this, but I think it's important. One more thing, Sheldon, put up that other one that says the first one, silver. Just so you guys know, I'm not blowing smoke at you, and you'll be the smartest one in your bridge club when you tell people, you know what's going on with silver. So here it is. There is no liquidity in the silver market. There are 100 million ounces short. Now, what that means is people are holding paper that says they own silver, but they don't have it. They don't have it. They have sold fake silver paper. 100 million shortage. 100 million. So if these guys are successful today at the silver manipulation, it'll have a ripple across the world like we have never ever seen. So I just want you to be ahead of the crowd. You know what's going on. Yeah, Jack.
One more thing on the silver certificates or the gold certificates. 10 years ago, there were 500 certificates per ounce of gold above ground. So every ounce of gold that existed above ground, there were already 500 certificates issued for each ounce. So you got to own it. You got to have it in your hand.
Yeah, because right now, 100 million liquidity, that means they're maybe let's take these six coins I have here. If I went and sold Jeff some, I said, Jeff, you want to buy some of my silver? He says, yeah, I will. I said, well, listen, you buy it and I'll hang on to it. Okay, Jeff. So Jeff says, okay, I'll buy 20% of it. And then I go to Larry. Larry says, I'll buy 20% of it. And I do that 100 times. 100 of you own 20% of the silver, but there ain't any silver, right? So that's what's going on. That's exactly
what I'm saying. You know, the bullion banks, okay, they are the J.P. Morgans, okay, yes. The Goldman Sachs. They're allowed to short silver, unlimited. So they just put their money behind that, and they can short it. And then every time the price comes up, they'll short it again. So they are suppressing, but they're allowed to do that. But the Reddit traders have restriction limits on what they can trade. So the little guy can't do anything.
We'll find out today, won't we, Glenn? If it's accepted. And you said it's already up $3 in futures. It's already up $3.
It's already up $3.
Yep.
10%. 10% this morning.
Wow. Wow. Hey, I just made money. I just made me some money. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, we brought that silver Friday night. And do you notice how everybody was saying, hey, I want in on that. Mike McKee told me I was supposed to get 200 ounces this weekend. He gave me 100. He said, I can't give you the 200. I said, what's going on? And he starts explaining how Mike does. He'll get you so confused about silver and gold and all this. He says, all this week, the young people have been hitting it like they did that stock. And so he showed me that website. I went to it. Then all the major silver and gold companies, JM Bullion, all of them, everybody was out of silver. So his supply and him said, I'm not giving you no more this weekend. Wait till Monday morning at 10 o'clock when the market opens. Then we'll see what we'll do. It's crazy.
Well, he would be stupid to sell at yesterday's prices, knowing what today's prices might be, right? So, folks, I'm not trying to give you a get-rich scheme, okay? It ain't even about that. I'm just telling you, this is how the world operates. And if these guys are successful today, this is going to be, whoo. This will be something big. Cool. James Pollock, come on in then, JR. Or JR, if you're ready, come on in.
Yeah. The one thing, two things I can remember when it was Kroger, but there's other stores were saying that they weren't going to take coins anymore. They weren't going to take cash.
Yeah, that wasn't that long ago, was it, JR?
Yep. That's interesting to note that, but are we in the process right now of creating a coin shortage? Because if you hoard and Jeff hoards and everybody else hoards, then we got to go to what? Either paper money or Visa.
Yeah.
Et cetera,
yeah.
Et cetera.
Well, that's probably where it's heading anyway, isn't it, JR? Probably, you know?
Yeah.
It really is. So I get your point. Folks, listen, here's what you got to know. 1964 and before. 1964. Okay. And the real way you can tell it is all you got to do, if you got a quarter, you can pull it out and this makes sense to you. The quarters that they're giving us now are simply copper with a silver covering. And all you got to do is take your coin and look. If you see that brown line going around your quarter, it tells you it's not a real quarter. It's copper. So sometimes when you go to the store and they give you change, they may throw a real one in there. Always look at your quarters. Always.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Just a word of caution. So, what you may see happen now is that there may be a run on silver because people, when they see the price, you know, increase at this level, so there's going to be a scramble to try to buy silver. What's going to happen is that because of the shortage now, the premiums will go up. Okay, what you pay is between the spot price and the price that you pay is called the premium. So you're going to have to shop around because there's going to be bullion houses are going. There's going to be a difference from one to another in the premium that you pay. So just be careful.
So folks, listen, here's what Glenn's saying. If I were to buy some silver and it's at, let's say, $27 an ounce, that's not really the value of it, friends. It's really not. So the guy who sells it to you may put a tack on a little bit. He may sell it to you at $30 an ounce because that's really the value of it. Okay. But you have to be, as Glenn just said, you have to be careful. You have to be careful who you buy it from because number one, you got to make sure it's real silver. And number two, you got to make sure that the guy's not ripping you off. I'm not telling you to run out and buy silver. I'm trying to show you what's going on in the world. Okay. That's what I'm trying to do. And Glenn, put up there real quick. So Spencer, Kitco, K-I-T-C-O, K-I-T-C-O, Kitco. And folks, it's a good website. It's all about silver. Kitco. There it is. And it'll tell you exactly what the value of it is and all that. It's, gold's up right now, $19. Wow. It's going to be exciting to watch. Whatever thing is real. Oh, redone. Okay, cool. We'll shift gears on you, okay? Spencer, I want you to go to, I got to get back to my page, folks, sorry. Go back to executive orders. Executive orders. Pull that up for me. You guys know what the color of law is? Color of law. Who can tell me? I'm gonna get Larry in here. Larry, what's the color of law?
That's, you can almost substitute the word cover of law in your mind. When somebody uses a peculiarity in law to do something that you would think common sense wise would be unlawful, they do it under the color of law.
Meaning it's not really a law, right? It's not really a law. Folks, listen. Executive orders that Joe Biden has now signed, what, 20 some of them? 29 of them, I think I heard the last count. Executive orders aren't laws. They're not laws. And I pulled up this site that maybe we can, just so you guys don't just believe me. The whole mask issue, everything that's going on with that. Now they've made it. Did you guys see this? I got to fly to, I have to fly to Dallas tomorrow. And now they're making a federal offense if you don't mask where they tell you to mask. Hey, it's not a federal offense. It's not a law. It's not a law. So over here it says, are executive orders law? It's a case study on it. Short answer, no. They are not in and of themselves laws. But the middle answer is executive orders may carry the weight of law. The weight of law insofar as they're directed to a department or other government's entity under the constitutional authority of the President of the United States. Does the President of the United States have the authority to make you wear a mask? Anybody think he does? No. But most of us, because we're ignorant, will assume that it's the law because the president said that it's law. If the president was able to make laws, we wouldn't need Congress. I can take you back to the first Article 1, Section 1. All legislative power, legislative being lawmaking, all legislative power is in the hands of the House and the Senate. It's the legislative. We have the executive branch, the president. We have the judicial branch. And we have the legislative branch. Why do they call them the legislative? Because they are the lawmaking branch. Does the president make laws? No. Does the court, do the courts make law? Larry's about to burst there. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, I was just going to say that laws are what people accept them as being in, in under the color, in the reality of things. But technically, you're absolutely right. Congress, when they pass a law that gives the director of a department to make rules that have the authority of law, that's unconstitutional because only Congress has the authority to pass that law.
Make laws. Only Congress can make laws.
But the United States sheeple have been living under the system that's allowed them and the courts to make laws that we're buried almost to the bottom where we can't dig our way out, but we've got to grab a shovel and start digging.
So if the President of the United States says, I'm issuing an executive law order that you must wear masks in public, folks, that isn't a law, but it is an order that would apply to every federal area that the President of the United States has jurisdiction on. Does the President of the United States have federal jurisdiction in Kroger's? Of course not. Does he have federal jurisdiction at a high school basketball game? Of course not. But see, that's where the idea of the color of law comes in. We think because the president said it, it therefore becomes the law, and it is not the law. Come on in, Mark Trumpton, Joe Allen.
Yeah, I was going to use some of our prior examples of military. Whenever you're in the military and you're given an unlawful order, who is it up to? To push back, it's up to you.
Individual, that's right.
All right. So in the what an executive order does is it's not a law, but it grants the bureaucracy the authority to enforce it. The bureaucracy is just like a military man. The bureaucracy then has to choose, is this lawful or not? How many civilians even has the stones to push back on what they're told to do by a company? Mm-hmm. So they gives them the authority to enforce it, whether or not it's legal, whether or not it's lawful, whether or not it's constitutional. And then you got people, all right? We're in the chain of command as a citizen. Do people push back on an unlawful order, just like a military man? See, for a military guy, an E4, E5, and a chief comes down and says, you got to do this. For an E4 and E5 to push back, that's like a citizen, or an average rate citizen. An E1, E2 is like a, you know, they don't have any boldness. But as you go up in rank, you become more responsible to push back for the people in your command. Now, in the civilian world, what's our precedence, Coach? The cops and speeding tickets? We don't have any knowledge of pushing back on authority.
Right.
The core of an executive order is authority that's not been lawful. And we have to be able to use discernment to cancel those, have our own cancel culture. But people don't know how to do it, Coach. You're teaching us. A lot of these ministries are teaching us how to push back. So I just want to point that out.
Thanks, Mark. Good analysis. Joe Allen, come on in.
Coach, my brother flew out of D.C. yesterday on Delta, or not yesterday, Friday, going down to Fort Knox. When he got on the flight, the Delta, they made him put on two masks.
Now, Joe. So
what do you do with that?
What do you do with it, Jack?
Okay, so why don't you put on three masks, make the outer one have a statement on it, and scream at the people that only have one mask, because they're the haters. They're the anti-vaxxers. They're the people that are have no feelings. They're not caring. You're the caring person because you have three masks.
So listen, here's the issue in my mind. It all goes back to the exact same thing, and it's in the First Amendment of the Constitution, that is, we have no redress of our grievances. So I'm going to get on that airplane tomorrow, and they're going to tell me what I have to do. And even though I know I don't have to do that, to whom do I turn? Where do I go? Where do I go for a redress of my grievances? That's the problem. We see it happen all across America, where store owners don't let you come in. Why don't they let you come in? Because the president made an order, or the health department made an order, and it has the color of law, but they have no jurisdiction with which to enforce it. So the problem becomes, okay, well, I'm not going to put on the mask, and they say they arrest you, or they call the cops or whatever. And most people just don't want to go through that hassle of doing it. That's why I said we need to begin to push back in large groups. Bunch of us go into a particular place and sit down and say, throw us all in jail. We aren't doing it. That's the only way that this will win this thing, because they're going to continue to defeat us one guy at a time. If they can get you isolated, you by yourself, you are not going to win. Come on in, Dale, then Ohio Brett.
Amen, Coach. The fact of the matter is not all law is actually law either. If it does not pass the balance of the scrutiny of the Constitution and organic law, even the law made itself is null and void. And we've created this because we have allowed our public school system to nullify and don't teach Constitution or civics or anything like that. Most Christians are more worried about who's going to win American Idol than actually reading. But you know, and I know, we listened to Chief Justice Roy Moore, and listening to the fact, even law itself, I mean, if they pass a law tomorrow that says people with blonde hair and blue eyes, and the legislator and the president signs it, says that you're not human beings. Well, it doesn't pass the constitutional muster, even though it took that legislative press.
So, Dale, so the mess that we're in now right now is we now see the president of the United States wants to do away with the Mexico City policy. Abortion, who isn't even legal in America, it was just a court decision. We're now spreading that abortion around the world. It's crazy. Come on in, Brett. Somebody needs to mute.
Hey, Coach, can you hear me?
I got you, bud.
Okay, here we go. At Mount Vernon at JC's Autos, meet up with Ohio Brett this Wednesday. I'm going to talk at 11 a.m. We've reached out to homeschools. We've reached out to churches. They're fleeing. They won't show up. some of the local colleges there, the Christian conservatives. They're going to do a meetup with Ohio Brett and JC's Auto this Wednesday. Afterwards, let's get a group of us and let's no mask and let's go to some store buy.
Oh, man, Brett, I'm going to be in. I'm in, but I'm going to be out of town. I'm in, Jeff. Count me in.
I know you are. It's okay. Just know it's happening.
Okay,
just
I'll take
know
a,
what's happening.
Good. I'll take a cut off of me, and you can carry the cut off of me around because I want to be there. I want to be there. Amen, Brett. Go ahead, Randy. Come on in.
Coach, what we have to do, I've had to get on the plane several times and put my mask on to get on. I don't wear it in the airport, even though they've, you know, tried to make me. But, Coach, you, what we need to say, we need to make a scene, do it right, don't do it, don't be an idiot. But I tell them, the stewardesses, when they ask, I say, okay, I'm going to put it on under duress. I'm going to put it on even though you're discriminating against my religion, my beliefs, and everything, because I have to go somewhere. But I want you to know you're wrong. I don't – just do it right, Coach. But when we do that in front of people, we speak, by speaking truth, yep, we're showing other people how to do it.
Amen. Amen. That's so right.
If we will just do this, Coach, every opportunity we get, every chance we get, and I coach people up all the time, every day, just by speaking, just taking a minute and speaking to them and showing them how to do it.
They call sheep for a reason, don't they, Randy?
Yeah.
For a reason. Tim, Naomi, come on in.
So yesterday, God dropped about 10 first-year med students in the laps of Tim and I. Every one of them came into the smoothie shop that we were in, and it was a small little location, but they all came in, and they all had the face diaper on, and we got to talking to them, and the owner of the smoothie shop is right on board with us. We educated those students, and they left with a lot to think about, but they also educated us that in order to be med, in order to go to college, they've already been given the injection.
Oh my goodness.
But we were able to share with them the truth about it and some links and some other things. And I'm praising Jesus that we had those 10 students just drop in our laps.
Amen.
And so yeah.
Pass the salt. Pass the salt. Come on in, Jack, and then Larry. Or is Jack, you just got your hand up because you'd like to talk. Larry, come on in. I don't think Jack's ready. Larry said, I just got my hand up too. Yeah.
Yeah. What was in there just flew out of my head. I don't know what I was going to say.
Okay. Such it is here. Ohio Brett, come on back in. Or do you just still
have No, we're good, Coach. I'll take it down, but I'll be there Wednesday.
Okay. Cool. I don't have time to do that. So we understand then, folks, that executive orders, the President of the United States is doing executive orders, I believe, because they're panicked and knowing that they will never get this stuff passed legislatively. So they're doing it under the color of law, coming in as quickly as they can. Can you believe, Bible says all those who hate me love death. Can you believe how many things they're doing are related to or directly lead to death of this administration? It is unbelievable. It's unbelievable what's going on. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, I wanted to say that Friday night was good with John Diamond, the stuff he told us. I took some notes, but one thing he said that just struck me is putting that flag upside down and the appeal to heaven. You see my picture I sent you.
I did see that.
He said, put the appeal to heaven flag on the top and then the United States flag under, because we got appeal to heaven because the nation is in distress. So the kid that come over the other day, old KJ, and was offended by it, I got to explain to him yesterday, and he helped me put the new flag up above the United States. And then he's proud of it. It was great. But he helped me.
Hey, I remember what I was going to say now.
Okay.
Those who fly and they make you put a mask on, when that plane gets in the air, take it off and make them arrest you when you get off the plane and see what happens.
You're not in federal territory anymore, huh, Larry? Is that what it is?
Well, no, no. I mean, you know, just they're not going to land a plane because you're wearing.
I got you.
And then when it ever does get in front of a judge, if there's any real justice about what the law says and doesn't say, he'll throw it out because it is not a law that you can, and they can't make a law that says you have to wear a mask.
Amen. 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 Winding down here. Anybody for the good of the group? For Rachel, your hands up. Rochelle.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment real quick. I actually think Joe's up to 40 executive orders. And the problem that we're in right now is the people who have got authority may not have power, but the people who have the authority have given the people with the power all the authority too. So that's why we're in a situation where we can't even trust these judges. Everything we try to do in a manner that is conducive to our laws and constitution, they're not following those laws.
Rochelle, they call them liberal judges and Trump judges and Obama judges. See, that's not the way the law is supposed to work, is it? The law is the law. It's not liberal or conservative. The law is the law. Glenn, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, you know, this whole weekend, you know, I watched until the cell phone went dead. I watched John Diamond, and you know, I bought his book. I'm going back to read it again. I really think that's where we're at. You know, I thought about, you know, our founding fathers and the tyranny of the British crown. And now we're right back where we started. We have the tyranny of the federal government. And so amen. John is right. Amen. John is right on.
It is.
And this is, you know, and then Muriel Murillo said something, okay, that really struck me. He said, do you have a life for prayer, or do you have a prayer life?
Boy, that's different, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't it?
And so
what we're seeing really again and again, over and over, it has never ended. Psalm 2, I hate to be redundant, kings of this earth conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. Folks, when it gets right down to it, there's only two teams. There's the Lord's team, and there's not the Lord's team. There are people who are not on the Lord's team who don't have the ability to see and understand spiritual things. And so when you try to go to somebody, let's say you want to go to somebody and you talk about how can a Christian vote for Joe Biden? Well, I would tell you that a real Christian can't. Not a real one. But one who calls themselves a Christian, or we call Christian, or they identify as Christian, they're able to do that because they don't have the understanding of the Holy Spirit. They don't walk in the spirit of truth. They don't understand that killing a baby is murder. They don't get it. They do not get it. They've been programmed to believe it to be a choice or whatever you want to call it, folks. So our job is not to try to convince them. Our job is try to convince those who are hanging on the edges, the ones who are potentially like-minded, the ones who, for the most part, want to do the right thing. I firmly believe that those who voted, those Christians who voted for Joe Biden, believe they did the right thing. Do you understand it? They're not just rebellious, but they think they're doing the right thing. Because why? They don't know the truth. It's only the truth that sets us free. Let me try to get a couple of you in here. Come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Craig.
Hey, just a couple things, and it will tie in how you put the coronavirus in. If you Google March 22nd, 2020, you'll look at the Department of Justice puts in a limitation of constitutional rights. If you go back to March 22nd, I believe 2011, that's the year that the Obama health care was done. If you go back to March 22nd, 1980, and you go back to November 11th, 2020, when we stood in front of those stones, which were dedicated on that date, you'll understand that the kings of the earth are these spiritual forces that you're talking about.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They are.
And that's why Skull and Bones is 322.
So the kings of the earth are those who are being motivated and driven by the forces of darkness, friends. It's no more difficult than that. But Jesus said, you're either for me or you are against me. There ain't no fence riding in the kingdom of God. You're on one side or the other. And for too long, we've allowed nominal Christians to be baked into the cake. And only now are we beginning to see and understand that they're not really Christians. They're not really Christians. And they've told us over and over, who are you to judge? The Lord's my judge. You're not my judge. Well, we're not judges. We're witnesses. We're witnesses to your fruit. You shall know them by your fruit. Voting for a man who will kill babies and teach in our schools that men having sex with men is normal. Folks, those aren't the children of God. I'm telling you. Those they're not the children of God, right?
So, Matthew chapter 25 speaks about those that think they were doing all those good things.
That's right. It does.
They were, you know, and Matthew 7 also. They were doing all these good things, but they weren't real Christians, and doing a good thing to the wrong person don't count for diddly squat.
So listen, I'm out of time. The Lord woke you up for a reason. He woke you up for a reason. He helped you to see all this crazy stuff going on around you for a reason. We are his witnesses. We are his ambassadors. We are his advocates. We are his disciples. We're a holy nation. We're a peculiar people. Let's put that mantle on. Let's wear it proudly, and let's go out and speak the truth no matter what the consequences are, because we see the tyranny that's coming round about us if we don't. Got to run. God bless you. See you tomorrow.
Boom, coach.